happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Rob Shooter.
Hi, Rob Shooter of
AndyHum
and the author of The Four-Word Answer. Before we get to the headlines, how are you doing with the book? What changes are you wreaking on society with your pitch for kindness? There you are.
I'm trying so hard to get people to figure out who they are in four words, just four words. It's doing really well, Andy. Thank you for having me on your show a couple of months ago when the book came out. Doing really well. I think I peaked at number 11 on Amazon. I think I'm still in the top 50. It's thrilling. People that grew up where I didn't really read books, let alone write them. So I'm super excited about it. I even sent a couple to my school library. If I can do it, you can do it too.
Okay. The four-word answer. So let's get to today's headlines. As you've heard about this Florida's Don't Say Gay bill in the schools, it's advancing. President Biden spoke out against it, calling it bullying. And by the way, Biden also got confirmed the first out lesbian ever in the United States to be an ambassador.
Wow. The NCAA appears to be retreating on trans eligibility in sports, leaving the Penn swimmer a little bit in limbo. We've got all those details.
Yes. New York activists stopped Mayor Eric Adams from appointing a leading anti-gay minister to run the city's mental health initiative.
My goodness. We're also going to be mourning the loss of Kim Corsano, who was the pioneering editor of the San Francisco Bay Times.
Quite a story, quite a character. A European Catholic cardinal has condemned his church's anti-gay teaching, and he's calling for job protections for LGBTQ employees.
Wow. Out. Speed skater Irene Wüst is making Olympic history. We've got all those.
And we're going to start off with Oscar history. Two out LGBTQ actors are nominated for the first time. And a gay-themed documentary is the first to be nominated in three major categories. And we'll talk a little bit about the Olympics before we get to all that other news. So start us off here about the Oscars.
Oscars. Big excitement about the Oscars. They were announced just a couple of days ago. Lots of great gay LGBTQ people involved there too. So super excited about that. Also too, I think everybody's talking about, we always do this, the snubs. Were there any big snubs? It appears like people are angry that Lady Gaga did not get nominated for House of Gucci. Maybe the movie wasn't as great as what we hoped, but Lady Gaga's performance was certainly extraordinary. And also, too, everybody's upset, Andy, that Jennifer Hudson did not get nominated for the Aretha Franklin biopic as well. What do you think?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yes, that's right.
He ain't getting none. Look, they only get to nominate five. It's a trade show. There are other shows. But let's talk about some of the history that was made. Ariana DeBose, who plays Anita, there she is in West Side Story, nominated. She's out, queer, nominated as supporting actress. There she is with her our partner, whose name is, let me get down there, Jo Ellen Pellman. No, I'm sorry, that's not her part. Hold it, that's not her part. That is her partner. One of the things that Ariana is doing is working with Jo Ellen Pellman, who's out, launching the Unruly Hearts Initiative to help young people connect with organizations that advocate for the LGBT community. But this is her partner. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about her. She has a great Broadway history. She was already a star. And now she's got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one that they're really pushing to. She hosted Saturday Night Live. I think some people don't realize when Oscar nominations come out, then there's this enormous push, almost like a political campaign, to try and get the stars, the movies, everybody involved who is nominated a win. This is the one they're pushing from the movie. They think it's probably their best bet. And let's remember, too, this is a role that won the great Rita Moreno her Oscar all those years ago for the original. So fingers crossed, I'm told that she's looking pretty good, Andy. This could be the winner.
And Rita is in the movie as well.
Executive producer as well.
Exactly. And she helped make it great.
Yeah.
By the way, DeBose is 31. She's a native of North Carolina, and she's Afro-Latina. And she's the first out LGBTQ woman of color to be nominated for an Oscar. And then there's, let's talk about Kristen Stewart, who's been, of course, a big star in the Twilight movies and is playing Princess Diana Spencer, in the movie called Spencer. This was not expected because she was slipping in the nominations.
Yeah, that's right. So when the movie first came out, everybody thought that she was the sure bet. It was hers to lose, and slowly as the days turn into weeks and months, people seem to lose interest in her. This is the dark horse. People were not quite sure if she was going to make it or not. The movie was not terribly well received, and the box office was not huge for it, which never really, really helps. But she squeaked it out, and I think this was the slot that it was going to be between her or Lady Gaga. It is Kristen Stewart. She's loved in Hollywood. I think people forget that she's been an actress since she was very young. I remember her in a Jodie Foster movie, Panic Room, and then obviously the Twilight franchise is just monstrously popular, and so she's nominated. She will be there on the red carpet. I'm not sure if it's going to be her year, but it's a good nomination.
You know, I like the movie Panic Room, you know, with Jodie Foster, and I've seen it actually a number of times, but I never paid attention who the little girl was.
It's Kristen Stewart. I pinched myself when somebody told me. I was raving about her performance in Diana, and they said, well, you know her. And I was like, of course I do, from Twilight. They were like, oh, don't be ridiculous, from Panic Room. And I had to go back and take a look. There she is, been in Hollywood a very long time. These are really political, Andy. In my PR days working for J-Lo and different celebrities, I know that now the real hard work begins to try and get this nomination, turn it into a win. I think she's going to be out there doing it. So best of luck.
Okay. And by the way, Kristen is engaged to screenwriter Dylan Meyer, another woman. And so that will be coming up. Now, the other sort of LGBTQ aspect is Power of the Dog. Hardly role models here. Benedict Cumberbatch clearly plays a guy who is homosexual and very repressed and very angry. And that's also nominated for Best Supporting Actor is Cody Smith McPhee, as sort of a soft masculine character who gets gay baited by Benedict Cumberbatch and the ranch hands. I don't want to give too much away. I'm not a fan of the movie, but they are both nominated, and this certainly is a gay theme, but not one to celebrate.
Right. I think they have the most nominations, 12, and this, by all indications, is the movie to beat. I think we can be a little personal on this show. My favorite movie of the year was West Side Story. I'd like West Side Story to take home the best movie, but I think it's going to be.
I cried all the way through West Side Story.
Loved it.
Well, Stephen Sondheim had just died, and I was hearing these lyrics, and I know that he says they weren't his best, but it was very moving, and it was so well done by your buddy Steven Spielberg. Tell us about him.
That's right. So Steven Spielberg is now being nominated 8 times. So this is one of the most nominations of all time. He's had such an amazing career, from E.T. and Jaws all the way up to Lincoln, and so 8 nominations.
In six different decades.
Every single decade he has been nominated. I'm not sure he's going to win it. Jane Campion is the favorite, but it's good to see him up there too. Also, we were talking at the top of the show about Scrubs, the great Tony Kushner, who I think did such an amazing job adapting this script. was not nominated. So people are talking out about that too. Tony Kushner did not get a nomination. Ooh.
I guess you would call that an adapted screenplay for sure, because adapted from the play, adapted from the movie, but it's a somewhat different film, you know, as a result of his very fine work. All right, and then there's this documentary called Flea, F-L-E-E. It's nominated for Best Animated Feature, Best International Film, and Best Documentary. So it's about a gay Afghan academic in Copenhagen opening up for the first time about his harrowing experience as a child refugee. The subject, they do it in cartoon form, in animated form, because they don't really want to reveal who this guy is because of his family, and I mean, he's out now. The filmmaker is Jonas Poer Rasmussen. This guy fled in 1995 and they were childhood friends, and they reconnected, and he's finally telling this story. I haven't seen it yet, have you?
I have seen it. It's extraordinary. It was one of those movies when you sit down and you maybe don't intend to watch the whole thing. It was getting a lot of buzz. A lot of people have been talking about this. And because of what we do for a living, I was like, oh, I'll watch a little of it. I was completely sucked in within the first 10, 15 minutes. Very, very moving, beautifully done, an amazing story. And we have a story about gay refugees a little later on in international news. And so it's something that's certainly in the news right now.
But before we go there, are we done with the Oscars?
Yeah, the Olympics, here we come.
Okay. So Irene Wüst from the Netherlands, the out lesbian skater, speed skater, set an Olympic record in the women's 1500-meter speed skating in Beijing. She won the gold. Yeah. The first person to win an individual gold medal in 5 Olympics, and at age 35, the oldest speed skating gold medalist ever. She said that the first that she won in 2006 was the easiest, but winning the fifth time is the hardest. When it's really important, I can show something extra, she said. She plans to retire from the sport now and marry her girlfriend. We have a picture of them together, Letitia De Jong, who is on the left there, this summer, after several pandemic postponements, and they want to have kids. And then what
this
else?
Summer. And
we also have
Brittany.
Games are like the IOC's reward to China for bad behavior. And then there's this Grindr thing. Now, in the Rio Olympics, they sort of exposed a lot of the athletes using Grindr, and they don't want this. So Grindr changed its privacy settings for those in the Olympic Village. Their profiles will not be visible to people outside the village to protect them from persecution or harassment. Protect them, but of course, not all the people who are being persecuted in China for protesting a lot of things.
I think we have a statement too from Jack Harrison, who runs their Department of Equality for Grindr. He said, quote, "We want Grindr to be a safe space for all queer athletes, regardless of where they are from, feel confident connecting with one another." So the settings have been changed. You can find each other if you're in the village, but you cannot be seen now. It is not yet visible. It won't be visible worldwide. So there's changes. Right. That change has happened, I think, just for the Olympics, and then after that, it will bounce back.
I mean, I don't know how much people are hooking up in Beijing in the Olympic Village, given all the protocols around COVID. I mean, if they test positive for COVID, they're done.
They are, but I think to get into that village is pretty safe. And so a few reporters who I know who have covered Olympics in the past said it is quite an activity place to be outside of the sports events. I'm trying to put that in as nice a way as I possibly can. So I think people get busy at the Olympics, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I mean, you know, there used to be all these things about coaches telling their athletes, oh, don't have sex before. I mean, come on.
Not till after you win a medal. You win a medal, and then you are free.
Anyway, China, meanwhile, is moving to kill romantic gay-themed dramas amid a wider crackdown on the entertainment industry. Mm. All right. Shall we move to the national news?
Yes.
I think that Florida story is about the biggest, and everybody's hearing about it. They are advancing this Don't Say Gay bill. And I just want to read the operative clause from the bill that everybody's arguing about. A school district may not encourage classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in primary grade levels or in a manner that is not age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students. And they're saying this is all very innocent. Everything should be age-appropriate. Of course everything should be age-appropriate. But it has a tremendous chilling effect on teachers and students, and it sends the signal this is a verboten topic. And, you know, the governor goes on about, oh, they're telling kids, don't pick your gender yet. I mean, there's still time. Well, it's a bunch of nonsense. And, you know, how are you supposed to have confidential relationships with counselors if you, and of course, they want, if the teacher finds out the kid is gay, go tell the parents. Don't keep it confidential. That is disastrous. This is really an offensive bill. And the president of the United States has spoken out against it.
Yeah, I'm so interested in his response. He's basically said, we've got your back and we're going to do everything in our power to try and stop this. I'm not really sure what they can do, but I hope they figure this out. I know lots of people, including myself, who came out at school, and that was one of the first places where you could talk about it to a teacher, to somebody that you trusted. And so this is going to be devastating. Were you surprised about Biden's response, Andy? Firm and
Biden's response was terrific. It's long. I'm going to include it in our email this week because it's so eloquent. You know, he said, just imagine what it would feel like to be a kid watching the leaders in your state bully you through legislation that tries to erase your existence. It's an eloquent statement. I'm going to include it in our email. I think it's worth taking a look at. So he does have their backs.
He has their backs.
Not the wicked Ron DeSantis. My goodness.
He doesn't. Yeah, it's wild. But moving to a better story, a nicer story. In Arizona, the state has introduced a bipartisan bill to support LGBTQ rights. A bipartisan group of Arizona lawmakers have announced that they plan to introduce legislation which would be the first time in that state that they protected gay and transgender people's rights against discrimination in business from landlords and employees. They do believe that this bill is up against stiff headwind, but they're going to try really hard to get this across the finish line. They said they are not naive about it. They know that the powerful conservative groups in the state government will be fighting against it. They said they're not naive, but to be honest, they are being honorable and working together.
Well, it has the support of the House Speaker, Rusty Bowers, who is a Republican. Yes. And I'm going to give him a lot of credit this week. He blocked a bill that would have given the legislature the power to unilaterally reject the results of an election. He said, this is ridiculous. We're not doing this in Arizona. I mean, they're doing it in a lot of other states, and the Supreme Court doesn't seem to care. But so good on him. I hope he can last.
Yes,
and speaking of that, I want to talk about what the Supreme Court did this week, because it is also extremely chilling. They let stand in Alabama laws, district lines for congressional districts that were declared racially discriminatory by the lower federal courts, including by Trump judges. And, you know, this high court is so hell-bent on getting rid of voting rights and getting rid of laws protecting people on the basis of race or anything else that, you know, even Justice Roberts, who helped gut the Voting Rights Act before, which meant, you know, he gutted the right to do the responsibility to do pre-clearance if you were going to change your laws. He got rid of that. And, of course, the states went wild in the Republican areas. So he voted with the liberals on this. But the five others, they are going to get rid of everything. Abortion rights, you know, race protection laws. Hold on to your hats for gay rights.
No reason given either, Andy, just a rejection of it. And 5-4.
Yeah, and, you know, Virginia this week, you know, some of the states are trying to get rid of their anti-gay marriage laws. I mean, they're not constitutional now, but they will be constitutional if the Supreme Court changes its mind. So in Virginia, the Republicans blocked the second-year vote on a constitutional amendment to get rid of that and say that same-sex marriage is not banned anymore. All right. A better story from the White House, Chantal Wong. You want to talk about her?
I don't have that story. You do that.
All right. This woman, Chantal Wong, is the first out lesbian ever to be confirmed in the United States at the ambassador level by the Senate. There have been a lot of gay boys, and right back to, you know, the Clinton administration, and even under George Bush, and even under Donald Trump. But this is the first out lesbian, and the first LGBTQ person of color to be confirmed at the ambassador level. She's a leading authority on international development. She was nominated back in July, and now she is going ahead. She's going to be the director of the Asian Development Bank, which is ambassador level.
Okay. Right. Well, that took so long. Let's do Peter Thiel. So Peter Thiel, a controversial figure, has exited Meta, which is the new name for Facebook, basically. He's going to focus now on trying to get more Trump candidates elected. So he's worth about $2.6 billion, according to Fortune. He's one of the largest donors to the Republican Party. He just gave $10 million to B.D. Vance, who's running for Senate in Iowa. And now he's decided he's leaving Facebook. He's leaving the board. He's one of their longest serving members. And now he's going to spend his time supporting candidates who follow President Trump's agenda.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what was the website that he destroyed with a lawsuit?
Oh, absolutely. Was it Gawker that he brought
down? Yes.
Gawker. $40.
And yet he's running around saying, oh, I'm for free speech and I hate the left and they're always censoring us. You know, well, come on. Mm. He did it with his money. He's a monster, really. I mean, and he got a lot of hatred. And he doesn't give a damn about LGBTQ rights. Not a bit. And he is a gay man. And of course, Gawker was the one that reported that when he was gay, and he was kind of upset about that.
That's where it all started. So technically, he brought them down over the Hulk Hogan sex tape, which they published. Nobody else would. But it was backed by this gentleman, and it all started when they...
Peter Thiel, he's loaded. And, of course, it was all Facebook money. He was one of the early investors in Facebook. All right. I mean, it's not all Facebook money, but he was an investor, and that really made him rich.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this NCAA situation, NCAA. We've been talking about this for a bit. They're changing their rules on trans. But this week, we told you about Leah Thomas, who was a transgender swimmer from Penn, University of Pennsylvania, and she's been winning a lot of races, so that's getting some noses out of joint. Now, this week, 16 Penn swimmers anonymously sent letters to the school and the Ivy League asking that they not take any legal action to defend her getting into the the championships. The new, more restrictive policy that the NCAA is sort of trying to pump this from USA Swimming might knock Leah Thomas out. We don't know. But we also don't know if those rules are going to be used for the NCAA because championships in March, because she already qualified under the existing rules. And what's going to happen? The people who wrote this letter said the biology of sex is a separate issue from someone's gender identity and that Thomas holds an unfair advantage, having bounced from number 462 as a male to number one as a woman. Other Penn swimmers said that this letter is not representative of the entire team. So the championships are March 16th to 19th. We'll keep you posted on that.
Yes, unclear, isn't it? Caitlyn Jenner has weighed in on this one as well. Of course she has. And Caitlyn doesn't seem to want Leah to compete.
No solidarity among the sisters. And Michael Phelps, the big swimmer, you know, has a trans ex-girlfriend, Taylor Leanne Chandler, who believes he's the one who pushed the Penn swimmers to write the anonymous letter, trying to get her banned. Chandler said Phelps has genetic advantages himself, so there is never a, quote, level playing field. We're all different.
Right. Let's do the Kim Corsaro story. So rest in peace, Kim. Kim's the former editor of the San Francisco Bay Times. Kim, a longtime publisher, also editor of the San Francisco Bay Times, an LGBTQ newspaper, known really for just being this amazing editor, but also too for suing the former chief police who tried to suppress the publication. She died on Monday at age 68 years old.
She died from complications because she was out working on the Obama campaign in 2012 in Ohio, and she had an accident, and they mistreated her in the hospital, gave her a powerful antibiotic, and she never really recovered from that. Right. But she did move back to San Francisco in the end. Now, she was quite a character. Her colleague, Tim Kingston, recalls her as, I'm going to read this, wondrous, infuriating, generous, bloody-minded, devious, mean, determined, obstinate, on point, and occasionally certifiable. Sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm going to write that for you, Andy, when that awful day comes. It's a great...
Politicians from Cleve Jones to Nancy Pelosi had to get down on their knees and beg for her endorsement. But, you know, she held LGBTQ organizations and AIDS organizations to account, although she was very partial to ACT UP and to Queer Nation. She also bailed out her reporters when they were arrested at things. And, you know, she died in San Francisco after a long illness.
Andy, do we have somebody else to take her reins? You know this world so much better than I do.
Well, I mean, she had left the reins of the paper for a long time ago. But we're doing it right here, you and me and Anne and Chris Cooper and Dawn Ennis, who is going to be my co-host next week. All right. Let's talk about Michael K. Williams.
Yes. So security video has shown police investigators the sale, the gentleman that sold the fatal drug to Mr. Williams. He's best known, I think, probably, Andy, from The Wire. And one man has been charged. I think three others have just been charged too, accused of being part of this drug trafficking crew. They were captured reselling drugs shortly after Mr. Williams had died. The U.S. attorney for the Southern District said, his name is Damian Williams. He said, quote, "This is a public health crisis. Deadly opioids like fentanyl and heroin don't care about who you are or what you have
accomplished." Fentanyl is several times more powerful than natural opioids, and it's derived with... which are derived from natural sources. There were 2,300 overdose deaths in New York City in the first year of the pandemic. 2,300. So we miss Michael K. Williams. Of course, he took the gay role on The Wire, or he made it a gay role, and some other gay roles as well.
I met him a few times, Andy. I interviewed him a couple of times on red carpet.
Yeah.
But a gentleman was still sort of like... was still uncomfortable a little bit in his new role as a famous person, as a public figure, but was a sweet guy, and rest in peace.
And a great actor.
You better believe it.
Great loss.
Yeah.
Well, now we're going to talk about a controversy within the community at the Human Rights Campaign. We told you that Alfonso David was fired from the Human Rights Campaign for his role in helping former governor, well, Governor Cuomo at the time, with his sex scandals. He says he did nothing wrong. They say he did a lot of things wrong and he broke his contract. But he is now suing for racial discrimination. He claims he was paid less than his white predecessor, that a board member told him to stop mentioning race in his comments because he risked alienating the white gay men who were the core constituency of HRC. Now, Joni Madison, the interim president, said David's suit is riddled with untruths and says he was fired for violating his contract. David says he is just the latest person of color to be affected by bias at the organization. But Michael Vasquez, who worked there as an Afro-Latino activist until August, said, well, David was in charge for the 2 years of the organization. What did he do about racial discrimination? So it's a mess, and it's playing out in public, and we don't know, you know, how it's all going to turn out.
And we have big news too, Andy, on Eric Adams, the new mayor, and Fernando Cabrera, which I know you've been
Cabrera.
Following with the press office. So Eric Adams was considering this pretty controversial Bronx councilman in a run to rebrand the $1.5 billion mental health initiative. This looked like it was going to happen. Now it looks like it certainly is not. I know you spoke to the mayor's office, Andy. What did they say?
Well, they say he is not being considered for this position anymore. They're going to have him run the mental health office. Fernando Cabrera is a fundamentalist minister who was in the city council, who went to Uganda to praise them over their Kill the Gays bill. Right. And how they were standing up to the gays. This guy was going to run an office in New York on mental health. It was absurd. So a lot of the LGBTQ groups rose up and protested. Alan Roscoff of the Jim Owls Club played a central role and talked to the mayor about it. And the mayor pulled back on it. But wow, I mean, you know, and also, so I just asked the mayor's office, all right, who are the high-ranking gay people out in your administration? Oh, we don't ask that question. I said, no. I'm not asking you to expose anybody. I'm saying, who's out so that we have representation as well? Do we? Oh, no, we don't talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. I mean, it's insane. There have been out appointments in mayoral administrations since 1977.
Right. You know?
I mean, even Giuliani had out gay commissioners. So Adams is saying, oh, we got them, but we're not telling you who they are.
I know, and Giuliani was happy to talk about it, too. There's lots of these little missteps about Eric Adams. I know it's very early on still into him being mayor, but there seems to be these missteps. And at the moment, too, there's this whole drama about, is he really a vegan? I'm not sure if you've been following this.
No, he says he eats fish.
Vegan mayor also eats fish, and now, too, there's reports that he was spotted eating chicken, God forbid. But it's just these silly little missteps.
A lot of politicians exaggerate and, you know, shade the truth. But these are crazy things. And, you know, again, usually you would want to declare in your press release that you've got an out gay appointment. And this is, Pete Buttigieg, that was international headline news, and it was great, and it helps.
Do you think they're not telling us because they don't have enough? They don't have people in these positions. Why do you think it is? You know,
it's not. So I said, I wrote to the office and I said, look, I mean, I can dig around and try to find out. I'm not trying to expose anybody. I'm not trying to quote unquote out anybody. You know, I'm just talking about these people are out and proud. I mean, they might have wives and. Lesbians who have wives and gays who have husbands. I mean, they're out. I mean, good grief. Stop treating it like it's something shameful. It sends a terrible signal.
It does. Let's do some happy news. So outstate rep Malcolm Kenyatta is marrying his fiance.
That's Malcolm on the left there.
Matthew Jordan, Pennsylvania state rep, is now married. Malcolm is currently running for the U.S. Senate, and he announced the news on Twitter featuring himself and his now husband, Dr. Matthew. He wrote the following, "Forever sounds pretty good." I like this. I like the picture. These two seem really, really happy. And they asked, instead of wedding gifts, if you want to buy them a gift, please donate to the Trevor Project. That's nice, Andy.
The primary there is May 17th, coming up there in Pennsylvania. For Malcolm Kenyatta, and there are a lot of other good candidates. It's quite a race, but Malcolm has gotten a lot of good endorsements, especially from Labor. All right, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, another wicked one, did sign the bill banning trans youth. And in New York, the advocacy groups are pushing a comprehensive sex education bill statewide, LGBTQ inclusive, and covering issues in sex education like consent and sexual harassment and things like that. It's not just the birds and the bees anymore. All right. Here's a development in New York, and we're not New York centric here, but STAR, the Strategic Trans Alliance for Radical Reform, filed a suit against Governor Hochul saying, you know, you want to build a beach down on the piers where, you know, we do what we all, where we hang out and everything. That has historic interest to the Black LGBTQ community and Latino. And they got a court order, a temporary restraining order. This is Mariah Lopez behind this. And a judge in Albany said, no, you're going to have to conduct this review, historic review, before you build your beach down there.
I've walked past it. I think a beach there would be lovely for us all to enjoy, including gay men, lesbians, and the gay community.
Well, there was always a gay beach there. It was just, you know, people used to sunbathe nude on the piers, right?
That's right. Those days are gone. But I love that they're fighting back.
Okay. All right. Let's go to West Virginia. Not much of a chance for a Democrat in a U.S. House race there, but somebody has to do it. So Barry Wendell, 72 years old, that's him in the foreground, a gay man married to a rabbi, has stepped forward in the 2nd District. They have a May 10th primary with Democrat Angela Dwyer, who is a Black woman, also running.
Wow. I like what you said at the top. He said exactly the same thing. Quote, someone had to do it. And I just felt like I needed to step in.
But that's so important. And this is happening around the country on school boards. Don't just watch what they're doing, because the Republicans are running candidates for every local office. They're trying to take over the election apparatus. I heard the people in Wisconsin yesterday on MSNBC talking about how they're running people. You've got to step forward and run for school board and all these things. Think about it out there, folks. Okay. All right. TikTok has a new policy to protect trans people. It bans dead naming, misgendering, misogyny, and the promotion of conversion therapy. And the changes were pushed by GLAAD and Ultraviolet, which is a national gender justice advocacy group. All right. And in Oklahoma, the governor issued an executive order to block any court order for trans sex markers for changes. I mean, how much do they hate us? You know, and our people, it's just terrible. Lambda Legal is on it, as they are, Tessie. Are we moving to international news?
Yeah, let's jump in. Let's head up international. What do you want to do first?
Well, how about that airport?
It's my favorite story of the the Indian Parliament is trying to change the airport that goes by the code name GAY. So they have a parliamentary panel set up, and very upset about the code names for the airport. They say it's a historical site, a religious site, and they just have figured out what GAY means. They're suggesting that they change the name to YAG Airport. But this might be more difficult than they think, because according to the civil ministry, they have to show the reason for changing the name. And one of the most important reasons is air safety. So I'm not sure that anybody is unsafe flying into gay-coded airport, but nevertheless, they are trying to do this right now.
If you really want to go to a gay airport, you go to San Francisco, where they have the Harvey Milk terminal.
Touché. That's right.
Wow. And, you know, they should look into the pluses of being a gay city. Anyway, all right, in Luxembourg, hey, you know, we told you about all the German, you know, people who were Catholics who were stepping forward and saying you got to stop with the bigotry. Well, on the heels of that, the cardinal there in Luxembourg, Jean-Claude Horic of there, he's the president of the Commission of the Bishops' Conference of the European Union. He said the church teaching on homosexuality is wrong. It's not based on science. He said sodomy was condemned when it was believed the whole child was contained in the sperm. That's true. He also said there is no mention of homosexuality in the New Testament, just some homosexual acts, which were then partly pagan ritual acts. This is a very sophisticated analysis from him. He says it's important for the church to remain human. Wow. He said he knows of homosexual priests and lay people in his archdiocese, and they have a home in the church with us. No one is ever dismissed for that. He won't kick out divorced and remarried employees either, because they would then become unemployed, and that wouldn't be Christian.
Christian. It is that everything he says makes total sense. It's very eloquent. I'm glad he's doing this. I read his comments and it made total sense to me. Hopefully it makes sense to others too. It's a big change. This is a story that we don't report very often. It's normally different stories we report about the Catholic Church.
You don't see bishops in the United States doing that. I mean, what's his name? Pope Francis has appointed more semi-liberal people, but they only go so far. None of them have gone this far. And this guy in Luxembourg also criticized the Cardinal of Cologne for mishandling the abuse crisis. Mm. He should go work in a parish. As a Christian, he said, you don't have to have a high job and a fancy outfit. You can still be a Christian, but go away. You screwed this up.
It did. We teased this story at the top of the show, Andy. A Frankfurt shelter is now offering queer refugees a much-needed safe place. So having been forced to leave their country and start over, as if that's not hard enough, asylum seekers who are not heterosexual are finding it even more difficult. Now in Frankfurt, a shelter is leading and leading the way in finding safe spaces for queer people. One refugee said, I was spat on. One queer refugee also said things would have been really, really bad had security in the shelters not stopped this attack. Security sometimes comes too late, though, and now queer refugees are being allowed and given a safe space.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I mean, and you know, you mentioned the Afghan situation. It's terrible for LGBTQ people there. They're being hunted and killed. So we're trying to do something about that. But staying in Germany for a second, the German Archbishop, prominent, Reinhard Marx, he came out for married priests, not just for sexual reasons, he said, but so people can be less lonely. Priests. All right. In Canada, the Conservative Party leader, Erin O'Toole, was ousted by his caucus. That was triggered because he supported the bill banning conversion therapy. And that's too much for them. He tried to be a compassionate conservative, more open on gay rights and reproductive rights and unions. And his ouster is seen as a boost for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of the Liberal Party. All right, now take us back to the home country.
Are we going to talk about the Queen, or do you want us to do Boris Johnson? Which one first? Should we do Boris? So Boris Johnson is being told that he needs to apologise after falsely accusing the leader of the opposition party for protecting a famous paedophile. So British lawmakers are telling Boris Johnson that he needs to apologise to Keir Starmer, who's the leader of the Labour Party, after he was hounded by protesters in Britain shortly after the Prime Minister claimed that he helped by not prosecuting famous paedophile Jimmy Savile. Jimmy Savile was a British comedian, a paedophile. It came out after his death. And now the Prime Minister somehow is connecting the leader of the opposition to Jimmy Savile. A lot of people over there are scratching their heads, but it turns
Well, Keith Starmer, the leader of the opposition, was the head of the prosecutions. And, you know, he had nothing to do with this case. It was handled at a lower level. But now they're saying, oh, you didn't prosecute Jimmy Savile. He didn't even know anything about it. So, I mean, his top policy aide, she said, that's enough. And she was very loyal to him. That's enough. I quit. And if enough people sign letters saying we want him out, I think they need 54 members of parliament, then there'll be a vote on whether or not to remove him as leader of the party, and then you'll have a new prime minister. And it's about time, you know.
But it's changing, Andy. It's changing. When he was elected over there, it was a landslide, let's be honest about it. People were shocked by how well he performed at that election. It has been eroded over COVID, and there was a big scandal recently about parties at 10 Downing Street while the rest of the nation was locked down. And so for the first time ever, Boris looks like he's a little bit on the ropes. It could happen.
He is. Now, how about the Queen? Her 70th anniversary on the throne.
70th anniversary, the longest reigning British monarch of all time. Andy, I think she has two more years to go before she beats, I think, Louis the 14th of France.
Oh, yes, that's right. Whoever knew about Louis the 14th's record? I didn't start when he was 10.
She's got to hold on for two more years. And I think 98 days as we tape this. I'm not keeping record. Absolutely, I am. So she celebrated over the weekend. She had quite a private reception. So she's at Sandringhurst at the moment. And her family were not included in this. It was locals and people from the village. She came out. She cut the cake. Eagle-eyed royal watchers noticed she was using a cane. However, it wasn't her usual cane. It was a cane that belonged to her late husband, Prince Philip. Now, later on this year, in June, the whole country are going to be celebrating for 4 days her platinum jubilee. Lots to celebrate, but also too lots of questions. Will Harry and Meghan be there? What are they going to do with Prince Andrew? So I'm sure they will hopefully sort those out in the next.
But she did make the move saying that I want Camilla to be queen consort and crowned with Charles in due time, when that happens. Now, I did read a story this week that they have actually put in place a sort of a procedure for, how Charles might succeed before her death. There will never be any confirmation of this, but apparently it's been talked about. And, monarchs around the world, when they get to be a certain age, retire and let their heirs rule, younger heirs. I mean, Charles not young anymore. What is he?
73. She's 90, 95. We had a Pope that retired, so it's not unheard of. I think with the Queen, all my reporting over the years with the Queen is that she always puts the crown before herself. So even on the day we were celebrating her 70th anniversary on the throne, she made it about the future of the royals by bringing up Charles and Camilla. The public polls have changed over there. In 2005, when they were first married, they had to put out a statement saying, she will never be queen, she will be princess consort. Now, over the last 17 years or so, sentiment has changed, it has softened, and now it looks like the Brits will be able to deal with that. I think if the Queen is okay with it, then the public will follow suit too. But 95 years old and 70 years on the throne. Remember that young girl, that princess in Kenya, up a tree to look at elephants and came down a queen. It's a really cruel way to become the monarch. You have to wait for a parent to die. And she spoke like that on her 70th anniversary.
People have been very accepting of that German family over the years.
I dare you. That's right. Tell them that.
All right. Going back to the Catholic Church again, ex-Pope Benedict, who covered up clergy abuse of children and worse as the Archbishop of Munich, at first denied that he had any role, but he was exposed in a recent report, and now he says he feels profound shame because he was caught in the report for the victims. But his lawyers are still saying, oh, he didn't cover anything up, where's the shame for the anti-gay bigotry that he personally has espoused for his entire life as a priest and as a cardinal? I mean, the stuff he wrote about gay people in 1987, that were disordered, and that, if there's anti-gay violence, well, what do you expect when you're out there arguing for rights to which no one has any conceivable right? You get what you deserve. I mean, he wrote this in 1987. That's terrible. And of course, there were rumors about him and his boyfriend, Gorgeous Georg.
Also, too, he wanted to make it clear that he admitted no personal wrongdoing after an independent report criticized his actions. So although he feels sorry, he's not yet ready to say that he did anything wrong.
All right. Are we done with international?
That's good. Good segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do entertainment.
Well, we now do sort of AIDS COVID news. Absolutely. Hey, be proud, my people. The CDC found that gay and lesbian adults had higher COVID vaccination rates than heterosexual adults.
We did it. I have the numbers, Andy. So 85% of gay and lesbian adults have had at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. That compares to 76% of heterosexual couples. So quite a difference there.
And we're more likely to be concerned about COVID and to believe in the safety and efficacy of vaccines. Bisexual and trans adults had rates similar to heterosexuals. Gay and lesbian white and Latino gay men higher, but Hispanic lesbian women lower than heterosexuals. So a lot of this has to do with the communities that you're in, you know, what your peer group is doing and all those kinds of things. But we can basically be proud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Republicans have made the hatred of Tony Fauci the centerpiece of the 2022 campaigns, replacing Nancy Pelosi as the object of hate. They're promising if they win back the House, which they very well may, to investigate him. Now, Fauci now needs 24-hour security for him and his family because of all the abuse that they heap on him. This guy DeSantis in Florida, the governor, calls it Fauci's instead of fascism, when it's, of course, the governor who's the true fascist. Fauci says, I've been demonized by people running away from the truth. All right, more entertainment news.
Who should we start with?
Well, you know, you saw MJ the musical. I've stopped going to plays, so I need you to tell us about that. I don't think I would have gone to that one anyway, but tell us.
It's a confusing one because they ignore anything controversial about Michael's life.
It's the authorized musical.
It's the authorized musical. Producers are his estate. And the children were there. Michael Jackson's children was there because obviously they're going to benefit from this musical too. They benefit from his estate. So it's a strange show that doesn't really ever look at the man in the mirror, pun intended. The music is still that Michael Jackson soundtrack that we've been listening to for many, many years. It's beautifully put together. The dancing is beautiful. I think the mistake they made, Andy, was trying to tell a story. I know there's a really successful Michael Jackson show in London and in Las Vegas that just recreates his greatest hits and doesn't even try to do a story. This is a typical jukebox musical that starts with a big hit and then flashes back to childhood and then takes you through their catalog. It stops in the 80s, the late 80s, when Michael was first accused of sexual misconduct. And so it's a strange, strange show. But if you like Michael Jackson music and you like the way he dances and moves, maybe this is the show for you.
With a book by Lynn Nottage, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. I was shocked that she did
this. How did she agree to do this? Like, she knew what she was doing. A friend of mine who was a critic said it felt like the whole thing was put together by a publicist, and they clearly said you could not mention this and you could not mention this. And there's just massive moments of his life that are missing. Forget the sexual abuse. There's no mention of plastic surgery. There's barely any mention of drugs. And if you left that musical not living in the world, you would think Michael was still alive today and still the king of pop. It ends at a peak.
They don't report Broadway grosses anymore about, you know, what they're selling. Do you have any sense of how it's selling?
It's not doing great. It looks as if the New York Times got their hands on some insider numbers. And the mega musicals, the Wickeds, the Phantoms, the Lion Kings, are still the ones that are bringing in all the money. The new shows are really struggling to find an audience. The night I went, it was pretty busy, but
you're freezing there, aren't
I think it's up this week, though. I think I looked the Broadway numbers. They won't actually give you figures, but they give you percentages, and I think we're up to 84-85% of ticket sales are being sold out. So that's good news. So it's going in the right direction, up from about 10% from last week. So fingers crossed. And as I think the world seems to feel more confident going back out, maybe those numbers will go up even further.
Well, I may work my courage up to go back. What about the resignation of Jeff Zucker at CNN over an office affair?
Bombshell over at CNN. So Jeff Zucker had been dating somebody called Allison for over a decade. They have been together. It is the worst kept secret in show business. Allison Gulest is her name. She was the publicist at the Today Show when Jeff worked at the Today Show. And of all people, Katie Couric looks to be the one to have exposed this. Katie Couric, in her book Going There, was the first one to actually write down that Allison and Jeff had a very strange relationship. She never said they were together, but she did imply it by saying Allison had moved into the same building as Jeff. And it was very awkward around them. And when Jeff took over Katie Couric's talk show, the first person he wanted to hire was his girlfriend, Allison. Now people inside CNN are figuring out what are they going to do next. Insiders over there are saying Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, they were part of Jeff's team. I think anybody that's worked in any office, any job, you know when the boss goes, a lot of things can change. So maybe there'll be changes over at CNN. Ultimately, though, I think it's safe to say what did Jeff in here is the ratings are not that good at the moment. He might have survived this if the numbers had been better, but not great ratings at CNN.
All right. My grandfather worked for Pathé in the 20s and for the film company and was successful there. But when Joe Kennedy took it over, he cleaned house and Grandpa went to work for the stock market. Anyway, Jeff Zucker, I can never forgive him. He's the one who hired Donald Trump to do The Apprentice.
That's going to be
put us on the road to ruin. All right. There's a musical of The Color Purple that's being worked on by Oprah. Out actor Coleman Domingo is set to play Mister. Not a very nice role. We love him.
Right. Fantasia is going to be the lead to, I think,
Sydney Sheely.
Yes,
I think Sophia and Taraji Henson is Shug.
And Oprah called them all up herself to tell them they had got the part. They all had to audition. I think a lot of people think after she won the Tony Award, Cynthia Erivo for The Color Purple a couple of years ago, the revival, she would be offered it, but she's not because she's doing Wicked, lots of theatre news. So Fantasia.
The movie of the musical?
The movie. So she's going to be doing that with Ariana Grande. And there's a new report out too that both Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo both auditioned. So even if you're the number one selling young artist in the world at the moment, Ariana Grande, who I think has the most Instagram followers in the world too, she had to audition. And they're saying that they were both terrific. The director is saying he burst out tears. John Chu is directing it and said these two stopped the room when they auditioned for Wicked the Musical.
Before we run out of time, the musical New Harmony. We had Barry Sussman on the show about this, and it's coming up. When is it coming to Broadway?
It's coming. So what happens is it opens on March 23rd. Opening night is April 13. My husband, Bruce Sussman, wrote the book.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bruce. Why did I say Barry?
He said Barry because the composer.
Barry Manilow.
No, Barry Sussman. It sounds pretty. It's a mixture of the both of those. So Bruce has been working with Barry Manilow for 50 years now. 50 years they wrote Copacabana together, and they have written their first musical. It's based on the Comedian Harmonists, who were a really talented group in the 20s in Germany, who sold millions of records. It's a true story. They played Carnegie Hall in New York. They made movies with Josephine Baker. They were international sensations. And then when Hitler came to power, some members of the group were Jewish, and the group was.
So Barry and Bruce are going to be at the 92nd Street Y in New York on March the 12th. We are going to put details in our email about this. And Amy Schneider has quit her job, the Jeopardy champ.
Yeah, a great statement by her, Andy. She said that
she's going to be a public figure now.
Yeah, Jim, I'm becoming a public figure. She seems a little unsure about it. She said she's terrified about quitting her job, although she's got a nice little nest egg there after winning over
$1,382,800, all taxable. Wow. And we got 10 seconds, so I guess all we can do is say goodbye.
Take care. Thanks for having me back.
I'm going to say hello to Bruce.
I will.